Good morning, it's Shirley Gutkowski at Crosslink Radio, where we talk about health from the eye teeth on down. I'm here to help you understand some of the mysteries of health from the perspective of the oral health care provider, who is me, Shirley Gutkowski. I am a clinical dental hygienist. I'm in the prevention mode all the time, and I'm trying to help you get to your health to its optimum. And I'll do that by bringing a wide variety of guests with the information that you want to know. And welcome to Tuesday, our inflammation show. And we are going to spend a few minutes talking about sugar today. Sugar is the buzzword of everything bad. And it's only partially deserved. people have a natural attraction to sugar or to sweet flavors. It's an evolutionary thing. Sweet things were good for us and helpful to eat and safe to eat. And so this is a hardwired thing into us. But what we have done to sugar in order to get sugar, we've exploited the living daylights out of it. But there are still good sugars that we can use and that are healthful. People seem to gravitate especially to stevia, and I'm not sure that that's the best option for us. So I have asked Dr. John Peldiak to come and join with me today on Crosslink Radio, and let me give you a little bit of a background here. John Peldiak received his dental degree from Southern Illinois University in the dark ages, 1980. He was a member of Professor Kauko Mäkinen's University of Michigan Xylitol Research Group in 1986 to 1992. So he was in it pretty much at the beginning of all of the xylitol talk. Dr. Peldiak is the author of Sweet Smart Xylitol and several xylitol-related articles. Dr. Peldiak has been in private general practice and currently works with Mobile Dentists, a highly dedicated group of dental professionals committed to improving the oral health of children. He is a proponent of xylitol and xylitol-based products such as clear nasal spray, Spry Dental Defense System, and other xylitol products. Welcome to the show, Dr. Peldiak.
Thank you, Shirley. It's great to be talking with you again.
Yeah, it's been a little while, hasn't it? Things have been changing a lot, especially with respect to xylitol, and I just want to just take a tiny little sidelight before we get too started, because a couple of months ago, there was quite a little flurry of activity in the xylitol community about a new product that has xylitol in it that is in fabric, and people are using it as running gear.
Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? There's all sorts of applications for xylitol if you look at the patents, because xylitol has this amazing cooling effect when it gets wet, when the xylitol crystals dissolve. There's a quick drop in temperature. So it makes sense that if you had it in your clothes and you begin to sweat, it would cool you off. I've seen some xylitol applications in things like air conditioning systems, air handling systems, just to produce that cooling and drying effect. So maybe it has some applications beyond dentistry that will make it so popular that it'll come back and help dentistry.
Maybe, or maybe it'll just get more and more expensive. Oh, my God.
that's more likely. More likely if they find more uses for it. We won't be able to get any for dentistry.
You're talking about the
sad old dark ages. Remember when the only xylitol product we could get was xylitol chewing gum from Finland, and the only place you could get it was the small independent health food stores? And it had a very tiny distribution. And if you told a patient or had a conversation with a patient and said, "This xylitol is just amazing. You should see what the results were on these studies reducing tooth decay by 85% and 90%. They said, "This is great. Where can you get it?" Well, you can't.
You can't,
end
right?
End the story. Yeah. Right. End the story. Where do you go with that?
You know the health store with all the ladies that never shave and they have this little dark corner back there behind all the other stores? That's where you have to go.
They had to reach under the counter to get the xylitol gum. Oh, you want that? You want the Xylofresh?
It was all crispy. God, I remember one of the first packs of xylitol gum that I got. It was 12 pieces of gum, and it was like $4. It was like a stupid amount of money. And that was a long time ago. So it's come down in price, and we can get so many more products. But let's just start really quickly to just say what xylitol is. Because there's a lot of confusion. There's just so many confusing things about xylitol. So what is the word? What is xylitol?
Well, xylitol is a naturally occurring carbohydrate sweetener that's very much like sugar, but molecularly it's just a little different, and that causes some metabolic differences in it. Physically, it looks like sugar. It tastes like sugar. It has the same functions as sugar, the same bulk, the same equivalent sweetness. It tastes good, just like sugar. But the difference is that xylitol has a little bit different structure. It doesn't have that active oxygen atom present in it. All the oxygen atoms in the xylitol molecule are covered with a hydrogen. So it's a very inactive metabolically. And in chemical reactions, it's much more inactive than regular sugar. So that's where the difference is. It tastes the same and functions much the same in food and chewing gum in these bulk sweetener applications. But metabolically, it's different, and that's where we have to point out the differences. Also, on teeth, because of the way bacteria metabolize xylitol, is much different than regular sugar. They tend to, the bacteria in the mouth tend to recognize xylitol as a sugar, so it looks good to them to eat. They gorge on it, mm-hmm. but they don't get any energy out of it, and it slows them out. It slows them down. It stalls out their metabolism. It changes them over time from an aggressive, harmful, acid-producing type of biofilm to a less harmful, more peaceful coexistence type of oral biofilm, the kind of biofilm that most people had before the big introduction of grains, starches, and other sugar sources to their diet. So xylitol in that sense is a bit of a throwback to a more natural time before we had all the convenience foods. It kind of mm-hmm. helps us live a modern lifestyle but enjoy the benefits of a more healthy diet, just with a simple dietary addition rather than changing our whole diet around. Xylitol also is different in our systems, metabolically in our systems. There's the big problem these days, people are talking, Gary Taubes Robert Lustig and Richard Johnson talk a lot about the harmful effects of sugar in modern society, that the big problems are really massive overconsumption, and we never stop eating it. In other words, we eat it from morning till night. It's not just like in the dark ages you were talking about, where you'd find a source of sweetness, whether it's fresh fruit or honey or whatever, and you'd eat it at mm-hmm. that time, but you wouldn't have it constantly. You wouldn't have it all day long. You wouldn't have it all year long. There'd be breaks from it. So these types of acid-producing bacteria were always present along with humans, but they weren't always active or as active as they are now because we weren't constantly feeding them their favorite foods. It's just like, children in a candy shop. They can't stop eating it. It looks so good.
Right.
It tastes so good. And they get energy out of it. It really speeds them up, and they make the harmful biofilm out of it because basically, the biofilm is a network of sugars linked together that can hold other bacteria and other materials into that meshwork. So if you can break up the meshwork, you have a much better chance of a looser, less adherent biofilm that breaks up more easily and produces less acid and less inflammation and less damage over time. So that's what we're really getting at with xylitol. It's a sugar-like substance that doesn't, it is not as active as regular sugar, so it doesn't link up with other sugars. It doesn't form that meshwork. And in our systems, it doesn't activate the same metabolic pathways that these people who are tend to denounce sugar are always talking about, the overconsumption of sugar making us fat. there's a really neat paper out recently about how the metabolic effects of xylitol. They conclude, the author's name is Amo, A-M-O, a Japanese researcher, who concludes that that xylitol does not activate those same metabolic effects that sugar does. So he's determined that xylitol would be useful in the diabetic diet and in people who are suffering from metabolic syndrome, from weight gain, that xylitol could be a useful sweetener in that regard.
Take a half a step back because of these metabolic things that you're just talking about. Because sugar activates a lot of metabolic, regular granulated sugar and all of its all of its pairs.
And it's a component. Yeah, and the components of regular granulated sugar are glucose and fructose. And mm-hmm. in an environment where you have, there's nothing wrong with eating considerable amounts of glucose. Our system can handle it, except when you have high blood glucose level, and then you add the fructose on top of it. And that's where these authors like Richard Johnson and Gary Taubes and Robert Lustig, put the blame on fructose. But it's really in a high mm-hmm. glucose environment where we're well fed, and then you put top of it and you get this metabolic syndrome activation, which is high blood pressure, high lipids, a tendency to storing abdominal fat, and a very harmful collection of effects. But if you look at people who eat a high carbohydrate diet, here's what gets really interesting about all this. People can eat a high carbohydrate diet and not get fat at all, because what are they
right.
doing if they're eating a vegan type diet? Those carbohydrates are not being processed as carbohydrates. They get down into the lower gut, and they're fermented there into volatile short-chain fatty acids. In other words, they're using all those carbohydrates as a source of fat in their system. I know that it's kind of mind-boggling when you try to wrap your head around it, but that's what's really happening with a high-fiber diet. And so your blood sugar does not get that high. You get enough energy, you get enough of the necessary nutrients and so forth. But the problem is in a highly refined diet, that's what is the instant energy. That's where the sugar gets in your system very rapidly.
All the work
that's
is
where,
gone.
Yeah, and then you put fructose on top of it, which is processed in the liver very rapidly. There's this misconception that fructose has a low glycemic index, so it doesn't raise your blood sugar, so maybe it's safer. But no, it goes zoom right into the liver, and all those metabolic processes start spinning. And if we already have enough energy in our system, we sure don't need more of the same. So that's where we run into problems. It's a processed diet where we don't have the fiber anymore. We're not getting all that carbohydrate down to our lower gut. It's instant energy or instant fat.
Right. And, that whole cycle is the story. And that we took out the whole lower intestine in the whole digestion story. We've processed everything by machine somewhere else. We've taken it apart in the lab. And we've put it together in other ways, and we've hidden it in all these other foods, and we just don't know what we're eating even at
but
all.
But it tastes so good.
it's science, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We crave more and more because another recent paper that just came out, I don't have it handy here, but it just came out, that these high-intensity sweeteners, and we're talking now the high-potency sweeteners, the aspartame, the sucralose, those things, those sweeteners that are hundreds of times sweeter than sugar, that they desensitize our taste buds for sweetness, and we crave sweeter foods to get the same mm-hmm. satisfaction that we had before from regular plain sugar. In other words, we want our soda pop sweeter than sugar-sweetened soda pop. We want it We want all these fast foods with extra sweetness and extra kick to them. And it's also because we're not getting any energy out of those high intensity sweeteners. There's no energy. The sweetness is there, but no energy. So we're looking around and say, I taste the sweetness, but where's the energy? I guess I need more. So it's a constant
spin cycle. Well, why is it that the industry has gone towards these intense sweeteners and really spent just piles of money on developing these super sweet sweeteners when we have things like xylitol around and some other polyols, I guess, is a generic term, and some other kind of sweet bits that we could be using instead of these really intense sweeteners that are so harmful? Well,
the super sweeteners are just so inexpensive to synthesize. They can be manufactured at very low cost, and the shipping is negligible. You know, you use so little of it compared to sugar. Some of these newer sweeteners are 13,000 to 15,000 times sweeter than sugar. If you can just imagine, that boggles my mind to think about it, how sweet that is. And you imagine how little is used if you're making a whole, vat of soda pop or drinks of where you just mix it with water. You don't need any bulk. Mm-hmm. It's the water that supplies all the bulk. So all these sweetened liquid products are just it's so much less expensive to make them that way. And besides, it's a taste that at first, maybe you first taste the diet soda and you say, oh, that's awful, that doesn't taste right. After a few times, you think, oh, it tastes pretty good, I don't mind that, and there you are. Before you know it, you want something that's sweeter and sweeter, especially
the
younger
people.
Well,
you're hooked on the sweetness, yes, and you're also hooked on the caffeine.
The caffeine, and also you're getting the sweetness, you're getting the caffeine, but you're getting no energy out of it. You're getting no calories.
Yeah.
So, again, that's telling, it's sending signals, mixed signals to our brain and nervous system and saying, what's going on here? I should be getting some energy out of this, but I want more. I must need more. So,
does
interesting
the body
difference
get
with
energy from, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a difference I was going to point out with xylitol. You know, xylitol is a reduced-calorie sweetener. You get about anywhere from, let's say, 30-40% less calories out of xylitol than regular sugar. But you get some energy out of it. But it's a long-curve energy. It's a slow-release energy. It's not the steep jump in energy and then followed by the crash. It's a very slow, steady, slow-release energy. So that doesn't upset the system, and it doesn't set off all those craving bells.
Okay, so this glycemic index conversation kind of forces its way in here just a little bit, because I think we can kind of categorize sugars as fast and slow, how they're metabolized and how they reach the small intestine and the large intestine and how they make their way through and, all of that kind of stuff. And xylitol really it's slow. And regular sugar is pretty quick.
Regular sugar is pretty quick. And fructose, which is considered low glycemic, you would think that that's a slow-release sugar, but no, it enters metabolism very rapidly. Whereas xylitol enters metabolism slowly because of slow absorption. That's the difference. Fructose is absorbed very rapidly, and boom, it has to go somewhere. So it goes into the liver, even if it doesn't go into the bloodstream right away and raise the blood sugar. It does activate the liver pathways. And like I say, if you don't need energy at that time when you're introducing the fructose, it can be converted easily into fat. Now, some of the fructose and some of the xylitol, for that matter, in the liver is converted to glycogen, which is just a storage form of sugar. It's the equivalent of body starch. So that's not a bad thing. That's okay. So as long as you have not eaten carbohydrates, let's say in the last many hours, let's say you haven't eaten any carbohydrates for a day, and you eat some of these sugars, either regular table sugar or high fructose corn syrup for that matter, some of it is going to be stored away into the liver for reserves, for energy when you need it later. So it's stored away. That's not harmful. But the trouble is, we're eating sugar when we have no need for energy, and we have no need to store any energy. So at that point, it only can spill over into fat. And that's the problem. It's not just overconsumption, but it's a frequency of consumption, and it's also not depleting the energy stores, the sugar energy stores that we already have stored away.
And when xylitol is consumed, it doesn't activate any of that metabolism kind of roller coaster.
According to this newer paper from Japan, it does not activate the same enzymes that fructose does that would lead to fat accumulation. And that's why these authors claim that xylitol would be a safer sweetener for people who have diabetes or metabolic syndrome, which is, that cluster of signs of, high blood pressure and abdominal obesity and dyslipidemia. So, again, we're not talking about huge amounts of xylitol eaten all the time, because anything in excess can be potentially harmful. We're just talking about reasonable amounts of xylitol, and if we're talking dental uses of xylitol, those are very small amounts. Those are about the equivalent of a tablespoon a day. In fact, there is a paper from Italy. I don't know if you recognize this one, from Campus and Caghetti. A six-month high-dose xylitol in high-risk caries subject, and where they checked in 2 years. Their idea of high dose was less than 12 grams a day, less than a tablespoon of xylitol a day. Now, that's not much, and they call that high dose of xylitol. And by the way, they got terrific results, which is really interesting, because they said if you can go in there hard and fast with high-dose xylitol for only 6 months and then nothing, and check 2 years later, you'll see a big difference between the two groups. The ones that got xylitol had very low caries rate compared to the ones who had a sugar-free chewing gum that had no xylitol in it. Very interesting paper, and it's very recent too. It was just published within the last year.
Yeah, that's really it's crazy how xylitol is being looked at in the dental industry, where they think that a tablespoon is a lot, and
and
you can't use it. You can't have a tablespoon and then call it good enough. That tablespoon was distributed over the entire day, the 12 grams.
In five different times during the day. Exactly. So, that's just tiny amounts at any one instant. And by the way, our own bodies, our own metabolism produces at least that much xylitol every day, just as a normal metabolic intermediate that kind of links these carbohydrate pathways together. For instance, we have the regular, common sugars are 6-carbon. Xylitol is 5-carbon. And some of our important sugars in metabolism that make up our energy molecule, ATP, is made up of a 5-carbon sugar. Ribose and RNA and DNA, ribose nucleic acid, that's our genetic material, has in its backbone this 5-carbon sugar. So we don't need huge amounts of it, but our body has to produce at least a reasonable amount every day just to keep us going.
Yeah.
And that's all we're talking about with xylitol. We're talking about that kind of amount, physiological amounts that are so beneficial for dental health in that same range. You don't have to go crazy with it and eat it by the, by the bagful to get good dental results. It's just use it sensibly. Use it often. Use it especially after meals. Use it to stimulate saliva if you have a dry mouth. Use it throughout the day in different exposures, and you'll keep the mouth from becoming acidic, and you'll keep that biofilm broken up, looser, less adherent, and less inflammatory. So that's what we're talking about. It's just being reasonable. Just being reasonable and being effective.
Dr. Pilniak, aside from all the reason, we were going to cover like 7 topics in this half an hour, and we're still
we're still on the opening statement, aren't we?
Yeah. It's crazy. It's so astonishing. It's just so, xylitol is so astonishing. And the uses for it, I mean, we could just go on and on and on. But we only have like 4 minutes left, but I want to introduce everybody to erythritol. And could you please just give us like the down and dirty, because that is showing itself to be almost as magical as xylitol. And once we get a couple of more studies, I think we're all going to be shocked.
This is really neat. I'm glad you brought that up. We talked about the difference between the common sugar in our diet, which are composed of 6 carbon atoms. Xylitol is different because it's 5 carbon atoms. Well, what happens if we step down? What's the next step down? 4 carbon atoms. Oh, that's erythritol. What's that? Well, that's a new one that hasn't been used as much. It does occur in nature, but in small amounts. It's obtained by fermentation, and now it can be made in commercial amounts. So finally we have enough to work with at prices that are not outrageous. And erythritol looks like it has very similar effects on the bacteria to xylitol. Maybe even some enhanced effects in certain situations. For instance, xylitol has been shown to decrease the growth and pathogenicity of Parthenomonas gingivalis, which is an important initiator of periodontal disease. Well, there was just a study done with a mixed biofilm finding that erythritol has even a stronger effect against P. gingivalis. That is really exciting. It looks like erythritol and xylitol would have a similar profile as an anti-cavity agent. And now it looks like xylitol and erythritol would both have a beneficial effect for the gingiva, with maybe erythritol having a more powerful effect, beneficial effect on the gingiva. What nobody has done so far is combine the two and done the studies on that, which are being done right now. And we're going to have some real exciting results coming up soon of the combination of xylitol and erythritol. And by the way, erythritol doesn't taste quite as good as xylitol, but if you mix the two together, you get something that tastes pretty good. So keep that in mind.
I can't wait for all of that stuff to come out, because it's really fascinating that we are looking really at the first few steps of using sugar as medicine. If it has a direct effect on these bacteria, that's exactly what we're doing. And I think that's super cool.
And I have heard that within the next couple of weeks, there's going to be a new sweetener called Light and Sweet, which will be xylitol and erythritol combined in a special way, and it'll taste just like sugar, and you'll be able to cook with it. It'll be easier on your easier to tolerate as far as lack of a laxative effect. Yeah, the borborygmus. And also should have dramatic benefits for dental health, and it could be used in larger amounts than just the xylitol that we were talking about, being used safely in things like cooking and in various products too. But we probably won't see it that much in progress because it will be more expensive, as we mentioned, than those high potency, high intensity sweeteners.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
watch for it, because it's exciting news. We're right on the leading edge here.
It does sound very cool. Light and Sweet, huh? And that's going to be the grocery store name of it?
That's what I've heard. So
okay.
It's not available right now, and maybe by the time the program is aired, it will be available. And let's see if we can get the dental community to focus more on prevention again, like we were before, talking about diet, nutrition, and
mm-hmm.
the effects on dental health. And maybe we can get back to that and talk to our patients a little bit more about what these special sweeteners can do to improve our dental health.
I'm all for it. I'm in the prevention mode. Thank you so much, Dr. Peldiak. It's always a pleasure to talk xylitol and sugar with you. It's so fun to talk to somebody else who gets so excited about it. And really, we could go on for a couple of more hours, and we have, but we're going to spare the listeners. All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Great talking with you, Shirley.
Bye. All right. That was Dr. John Peldiak, and we are a little bit, tiny bit long, but I really want to encourage you to stay tuned to CrossLink Radio for other shows that are going to be fun and exciting, and I hope to see you at another show.